stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome back to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth here. Vec is not with us today. He is participating in a moot for the Murphy v. Missouri Supreme Court case that will be argued on Monday, March 18th. But I'm delighted to have my litigation counsel colleague, Shang Li, with us. Shang has been a busy boy this year. He's got a lot of cases going on, and had oral argument in another case, actually a second case in Massachusetts within week.
Fourth Amendment too, actually.
That's right. So you might want to spread out a little bit. I don't know. But the other case that Shang was arguing, that was just a coincidence of timing, was in state court in Massachusetts, right?
It was a district court. Federal district court.
Oh, federal district court, but it was in Springfield?
Springfield. I had to take the train from Boston to Springfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're suing Massachusetts and the, I guess, the public health commissioner in Massachusetts, was Cook, so it was Wright v. Cook, and now it might be Goldstein.
There was an election, and there's a new commissioner. The challenge policy is the same, but you know, these things, it's just for formality purposes. You change the name of the commissioner.
Right. So if you're looking for the case going forward, it might be Wright v. Goldstein. But it was Wright v. Cook on our website still. I know it says that. So this is the case where the state of Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
That's right. They do like that.
Unlike every other state in the country, decided that the way to track people with COVID-19 was to automatically download software onto their smartphones without even telling them about it. So over a million Android smartphone users in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and just people passing through at Logan Airport or wherever, like maybe people coming to argue cases in the court, had this software downloaded onto their smartphone. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. So if listeners remember back in the COVID days, before however long ago.
Yes. Antediluvian days.
Exactly. Apple and Google, they created these apps that you can download on your phone, and you can report being infected with COVID, and it sends out a signal to all the other, you know, phones that you've been in close proximity, 10 feet around, you know, over the last week or two, and they'll get an alert saying, you were in close proximity with somebody.
And they used to have this in D.C., by the way. Every time you cross the bridge into D.C., you'd get a pop-up on your phone. Yep. Hey, do you want to opt into D.C.'s program?
And a lot of states, a lot of states work with Google to get these apps. And they would, you know, they were all voluntary. So you have to opt into the network. You drive through across a state line, across a bridge or something, and you get an alert saying, "Do you want to download this app and opt into this system?" And you would say yes or no. Massachusetts took a different direction, and what they did was they actually did a voluntary one first, but nobody used it. They only had like 4,000 downloads, and they didn't like that. So what they did
the network doesn't work very well
exactly.
If you don't have enough people on it, right?
If no one's on it.
The places where it was voluntary it really didn't work.
Didn't work, yeah.
And they mostly abandoned it.
And what Massachusetts did was they said, well, we just won't give people that choice. And sometime in 2021, we're not exactly sure because it's all done in secret.
By the way, remember, Massachusetts, Jacobson v. Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Now, this case is also Massachusetts. I'm detecting a theme, I think.
Well, it's 100 years apart, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Samuel Adams would be turning over in his grave, though.
So they sent this out and had to work with Google to put this app on at least a million Massachusetts residents on their phones without their permission or their awareness. And anybody who drove across Massachusetts got this app. And so this is, a fairly invasive intrusion of, a million people's privacy and property, because you also own your phones. And the app, what it did is they It didn't show up on your phones. Like, you know, when you open your app, you say, oh, here's my map app, here's my email app. It didn't show up on there, so they didn't even know. Most people didn't even know until they went to the Find My Apps or See My Apps function on their phone. Then it's listed under My Verizon or My Maps or what have you. And they can. And if you did find out and you try to delete it because you don't like this invasion of privacy, every few weeks or few months, they would re-download it. So you don't you can't even get rid of it. So our clients are a group of Massachusetts residents, and one from New Hampshire who, because he worked in Massachusetts, and every time he commuted, he got this app on his phone. They filed a lawsuit challenging this practice under the Fourth Amendment for invading their privacy, tracking them without their permission, and also under the Fifth Amendment takings, because this took up 15 or 20 megabytes on their phone. It's the government was basically taking a piece of your storage without your permission and without any compensation.
Yeah, and using up some of your battery life.
Yeah, that's right. Well, a lot of negative reviews. People on the Android app was reviewing this, and they said, oh, well, this turns on my Bluetooth because it works through Bluetooth. And if you turn on your Bluetooth, it really drains your battery without your permission. So
what kind of questions did you get from the court?
Well, so we filed this case when the program was still going on, and then during the lawsuit, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts ended the program. And they try to argue, hey, this case is moot. We get this a lot of our COVID cases. Right. But they did something.
We've stopped violating your rights, so you can't sue us anymore.
Exactly. And the courts have unfortunately kind of allowed some of these mootness rulings to happen.
Particularly in Sheng's cases. It's kind of an inside joke here at NCLA.
What's different here is the government got a lot of data from the millions of people they downloaded this app from. And we alleged there was collusion between government and Google, and the government made a filing that basically confirmed our allegations. They said, hey, we're the Department of Health, and we got data from Google. We were working with them. They gave us data. And we are using that data right now to do public health research. They didn't actually say what kind of research they're doing. Maybe they want to, you know, the next time they roll this out, they'll do a better job or something. That's what they're trying to do. And so they got data, and we said, well, this thing can't be moot, because if you unlawfully collected data from our clients, your holding of that data is unlawful. So this is actually a lot like the Harper case, because our relief is the deletion of the unlawfully collected data.
And we were saying internally, too, this isn't part of the lawsuit, but we were saying, you know, isn't this a institutional research board violation? Because they don't have the permission of people from whom they collected the data to use it.
You do have to do that for you know, IRB purposes. You can't you're not supposed to do human-based research without all kinds of checks and checks. But, you know, they didn't go through that, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So what other questions did you get, or what was the court most interested in?
The court was really interested in focused quite a bit on this mootness issue, and the government, you know, obviously I think the data was the strongest basis for rejecting mootness, and the court kind of seized on that, asked the government right off the bat, hey, you know, I understand you're making this mootness claim, but what about the data? The government attorneys, you know, responded, I don't know, Your Honor. What about the data? And I was like, well, sitting there, I was thinking, you know.
Not the best answer.
We've been briefing this back and forth about, you know, this data being the existence of, you know, this allegedly unlawfully collected data being the, you know, a basis for relief. So when I got up, the court asked about the data. We also made an argument that just because the government ends a program doesn't mean they can't bring it back at some point. The court didn't seem that interested in that second argument, but hopefully that's, I think, because the data argument is so strong, the court doesn't need to reach that second part. In theory, it could give
pretty full relief to our clients by ordering destruction of all of the data in the possession of the state, right?
Exactly. Well, I think, you know, presuming we survive a motion to dismiss, I think the next step would be to actually try to certify the class and try to get deletion of everyone's data.
Right.
Which, you know.
But we'd also like deletion of the software from their phones, because it's not clear that the state has taken this app down, right?
Yeah. One of the relief that defeats mootness that we argued is that, hey, you can just automatically, anything you automatically download, you can certainly automatically delete.
You would think.
And the government claims they can't do that, which, you know, but.
They probably can't do it for free. It would probably cost them a lot of money to make a contract with Google to do it.
Maybe that's what it is, but they claim they can't do that. And I think the judge didn't buy that very much either.
Oh, good.
The
He seemed to buy your argument that, hey, they put it on there, they could probably take it down.
I think so. We didn't reach that part to, you know, discuss it too much. I like to think, again, might be reading, it's hard to read into this, but we talk mostly about the fact that they have this data and it can't be, and the fact that they can still search it and they claim to be searching it is probably enough to defeat Moonis. And the case on this actually involves, and he seized on this case in Baltimore, where Baltimore had an area surveillance program, huge invasion of privacy, and kept the data, and people sued and said, hey, you ended this surveillance program.
Is this like City for the Beautiful Struggle or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle,
Leaders
that's
of
right.
Struggle. Yeah, I remember this case, yeah, had an interesting name.
So he was really interested in that case, which was, I think, a good sign. And then the other thing is I think he was pretty interested in our kind of takings claim, because the government had an interesting argument that there was no property interest in the storage space, or we didn't have enough allegations about a property interest. And he made some examples, like, how is this different from, you know, the trunk of my car, right? It's a storage, you know, because our allegations is obviously our clients own our phone. Mm-hmm. I think the government was quibbling that, well, we didn't say we also own the storage space on our phone. And the, you know, I don't know if you need to. There was no sentence in the complaint that says, I own the storage space, all 400 gigabytes of it, or whatever it is, on the phone, 16 gigabytes on the phone. But I think you didn't need to. By saying I own my car, I'm also saying I own the space in the trunk of my car.
Right. And there's pretty good takings law on that. Like, for example, that if someone puts a very small attachment to a pole, still counts as a violation of...
The Loretto case out of the Supreme Court in the 80s, where it was a tiny, like, few square inch cable box in a giant apartment, and that was still a taking. So there's no de minimis, exception for taking. So I'm excited to see, you know, hopefully that claim survives summary judgment and get to it, you know, on the merits, survives motion to dismiss, we can get to discovery on how much was taken, you know, data and storage-wise.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, Sheng. So this case is Wright v. Cook or Wright v. Goldstein in the District of Massachusetts, and we'll keep you apprised of what happens.
Thank you, Mark.